We turn now in Deuteronomy 32. The words in verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Well, these words were written, give and take a year or two, 3,500 years ago. And it's still the same. People will not consider their latter end. Find it a problem when we try to present the gospel. And it was the problem in those days, and it's been the problem ever since. When you're young, why consider, you think, your latter end? We're young, we're healthy, we run, we've got plenty of things to do. We needn't think about these things at all. And if they're pressed on our minds for any reason, that there's been a tragedy nearby or in the family or something, perhaps we give the odd passing thought. But as for considering where our life is going, that being human we must die, as for considering that, we wouldn't dream of it. The nearest we might get is to think to ourselves, well, yeah, it happened to someone, but it won't happen to me. There was one in 400,000 young people who might have been hurt by a car on the road, but it won't be me. And that's what we think, isn't it? One way or another. Won't happen to me. And of course, if it does, or something does, we aren't ready. So it isn't wise to put off thinking about our latter end because we're young. If we're not wise, it doesn't make a great deal of difference how much we grow up. We will still find reasons for not thinking about our latter end. It's time of young manhood and young womanhood. Even if they don't go into drugs or other things, it's a time of making a new home, bringing up a family. There are other things to think about that seem more pressing and more urgent. But what if the baby dies? What if the new home gets flooded? What if you are suddenly taken very ill? Even in the prime of life, men and women die. It would be a folly of us not to have considered our latter end. But of course, when we're 20, when we're 30, when we're 40, the idea of dying, we think, well, it's for the 80-year-olds. It's a long while off. So we mislead ourselves and we go astray. Perhaps there's nothing worse than older people who will not consider their latter end. They've been through many things in life and never been a believer. Maybe they've cursed God and not died. And now they've got old and they've got bitter and they're getting ill and they know they can't do the things they used to do. But they still will not consider what's happening to them. The latter end to which it is all leading. And it's always been so with fallen human nature. That's why we believe in new birth, regeneration. We can't even think a thought of turning to the Lord unless he lays hold on us in our mind something stirs in our mind that perhaps we ought to believe in Christ. Perhaps what people said about the Bible was true. But unless the Lord lays hold upon us, we won't do it. If the Lord does lay hold on us, we take it for granted sometimes. We think to ourselves, well, I don't know how it happened, but I believed in God and believed in the Saviour and believed my sins are forgiven. But you soon discover that most others don't see it your way. For 3,500 years and way before that, men did not consider their latter end. Put another way, they were not wise. They were silly. They were stupid. Because one thing comes to us all, and that is death. But after death, the judgment. So the latter end of our life, I don't know, give yourself 90 years, it's the last 30 from 60 onwards. But the latter end of our life is one thing. Our eternal destiny, the judgment which follows death, is quite another. If we had thought about what happens beyond death, that would have been sensible. After all, let's say we're going to have 90 years. We don't know that. And let's say that of that 90 years, most of it we're going to be fit. But let's also say of that 90 years, how many sins will we commit a day? 90 years times 365 times 10 a day? That's quite a lot, even if it's not more than 10. Our latter end. What will happen to us after we die? So we're 90. But to die at 90 unbelieving, how does that compare with millions of years, with eternity with God, without pain and none of the difficulties of this world still there? Nation rising against nation and all the strange things that happen upon the earth. But a place of peace and a place of joy, a place of happiness. A place that keeps God satisfied. It isn't boring. If it keeps God and if it keeps the Lord Jesus Christ and keeps the Holy Spirit satisfied, it certainly isn't going to be boring for us. An eternity of years compared with 90 in misery and pain, suffering and work. We weren't very wise not to consider it. So the scripture says, the Lord says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Although it comes from the lips of God, it is a desire that won't happen. Not by nature it won't happen. It'll only happen if God moves the heart. If oh that they were wise means I will give you wisdom, then that will be lovely. But without the Lord stirring us up to turn to him to confess our sins, we're not going to consider. We're not going to be wise. Oh that they were wise, that they understood this. So, you have your life in front of you. We don't know how long it's going to be for. We don't know what's going to happen to the world or to us in the next years that lie ahead. We don't know whether we will have a glittering career, whether the subjects we've chosen for school will be the best help that we shall ever get, and that they will lead us to a good and top-ranking and helpful sort of job. We just don't know. We don't know if we won't give up and fail. Suicide rate is probably highest at the average age of 20. People just give up. Can't do it. Can't cope. But to be wise and to consider our letter end. So we see when we consider our letter end that actually from about the age of 20 we're deteriorating. We might be growing till we're 20, and our minds might be expanding, and our minds won't altogether disintegrate at the time we're 20, but our body does begin just not to be what it was. And from then on, it is a downward trend. It would be wise of us to consider this. Not in order to make us low, not in order to make us afraid, but so that we could get a right perspective on the nature of living, that we are living creatures, and that God cursed the earth for sin. And we are identified with Adam by nature. We will be disobedient to God, if not in the same way. The actual disobedience is there. We should consider that we are members, therefore, of a fallen race. That consideration should lead us to think to ourselves, can anything be done for me? Am I lost? Am I helpless? Am I doomed to an everlasting destruction? The answer is yes, yes, yes. But the Lord Jesus has intervened. God has sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for sinners. And how bad the sinners are makes no difference to the power of his grace to redeem and to save. Sins do vary. Even the Ten Commandments, in some ways the seriousness of each one of them varies. To covet might not go beyond you, it might remain in your heart. You might not get round to causing anybody distress because you covet something. But that's different from murder, isn't it? But they are all sins. They are all marks of rebellion. They are all marks of disobedience. We are under the condemnation of God. And the hope for us lies in this: the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Saviour. No other name will do it. No other philosophy, no other religion, no other hope. When I was a boy, many of my contemporaries went when they were young. They desired to go to India. They would flock off to India for a year and go to some guru or something. The answer isn't in India. The answer is in the Bible. The answer is in Christ. The answer is only in Christ. Christ is only verified in the Bible. Savingly, there is mention of him, of course, in secular literature. So it is wise of me to consider my actual condition. Do you like what you see in your heart? What do you see? Love? I love my friends. I love my family. Yeah, it's nice. What about dislike? Anything there? And if you see it in your heart, do you not like to see it? Dislike. Hatred. Ugliness. Would we laugh at a deformed child? Do you look into your heart? See if you like what you see there. If you consider it carefully, we're being wise, we're earnestly consider. And if it's in my heart now when I'm 20, it's not going to get less by the time I get 40. It's going to double, isn't it, at the very least? It's going to take on a certain compound interest, a speed which it gets out of control. If I'm like this at 20, it's going to be 10 times worse at 30 and 40 and 50. I'm out of control. Or to use Bible language, I'm lost. So, if I've come to understand that there is one solution, and that solution is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, should not I turn to him? But I don't deserve it. Quite so. But God doesn't ask if you deserve it. He is prepared to have mercy on those that love him. We can only love him when he's moved our hearts. But do you find a love which would welcome the mercy of God? Are you prepared to confess to the Lord? It's one thing to say to yourself, I know I'm like this. It's another thing to confess it to God. Would you confess to God that you are a lost sinner, that your sins are appalling to him, and plead with him for mercy, that you love mercy, that you desire? He promises mercy to thousands of those who approach him in love. And there's the only answer. The latter end of our lives will ratify how we've lived. If we've lived unbelieving, we'll stay unbelieving and enter into hell. If we've been believing, we'll carry on that way. Very last book of the Bible, introducing the end, says this: he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. When the Lord returns, or at our own personal death, whichever is sooner, things will be laid down in concrete, if you like. If we've sought the pardon of the Lord, that is granted and stays. If we haven't, that's how it will always remain. There is no further opportunity for change. And if you see in yourself that there are things that are not right, things that are not of God, and if you let them drift on, and if you say to yourself, I'll think about it some other time, and if you get on with other things, multiplying your sins as you go along, there will come a day that is a dead halt. That's how it will stay. That's how it will stay forever and forever. Christ came that everyone that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But don't die before that. But you can't stop when you die. So you better think about it. Isn't it a wonderful thing for the Lord? God so loved this world of hatred and of sin, this world that is so contrary to him. God so loved it that he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Or the opposite: whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that attractive? It would be most unwise to bury our head in the sands, to say I'll think about it another time, to say there are other things important that take priority, because eternity is a bit longer than the lifespan of the things that we think are going to take priority. It's a terrible thing to die. It's a terrible biblical expression. Ye shall die in your sins. And the Lord will see in that day of judgment that we're still in sin, that we have not repented of that sin, that we are one with all the other sinners who've gone to hell, and he will dismiss us there. The gospel is good news because it says it can be avoided. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But then you have to ask yourself, what does believing mean? We need to believe why he came, because we're sinners. He shed his blood, had to pay the price of the anger of God and the holiness of God. I've often thought of it this way because I remember, as I've told you before, I used to go down to breakfast sometimes, miserable or something. She would say, you know, it was a lovely day till you arrived. And actually, that was the seed of a lot of thought. It was only me. And obviously, it upset my mum. But if God had me in heaven, with my sins not forgiven, it would be tantamount to wrecking the place, wouldn't it? Because if I could do as I wanted, then everybody else could do as they wanted, which is no better than the earth in which we live. And it's contrary to just God's justice, contrary to God's holiness. We must be changed. This is what's happened in a world of sinners. Do we not want to live forever in a different sort of world? Perhaps I shouldn't suggest you think of the opposite. Not the best way of thinking of it. But do I want to live with Putin and with Hitler and with Stalin and with the Caesars? Do I want to live among all the lesser mockers? Do I want to be part of that group forever and forever and forever and forever? And yet I say to myself, one day, and there may not be another day. I plead with you all. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just with the mind, but put your utter trust, thoroughly relying your whole soul, banking your whole soul upon him. For he is able, and he does forgive those that come to him, that confess their sins to him, that beg for his help, that beg for his mercy. And maybe he'll allow you to serve him all the days of your life here, which will be wonderful, just as a preparation for glory. May the Lord grant us to think of our latter end, death, and of the latter end that follows death, the judgment. Take a really good look at it. It's best done while we're young. It's best done while we're healthy. Because we get a biased, jaundiced view of things when we don't feel well, when things have gone badly, when other people have hurt us. The best time is now. Not only to think about it, but to commit ourselves to the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Wise, if we consider our latter end, and if we then turn, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.